plan by some of the biggest football clubs in England, Italy and Spain to form a league of their own, announced on Sunday to surprise and huge opposition, is in tatters this morning after at least six clubs withdrew their support last night, with some apologising to their fans. The European Super League would have seen 15 founding clubs receive a £200 to £300 million golden hello to play in a midweek competition from which they could never be relegated. Jonathan Wilson is author and football writer for The Guardian. He's with us now. Jonathan, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland.
Thanks, how are you doing?
So for the second time in a few days, Chelsea have beaten Manchester City, this time to be first out the door of the Super League. What just happened and why?
I think the pressures leading to this had been building for a while. I think we've seen greater and greater disparities between the big clubs and the smaller clubs. And I think a few of us have been predicting for a while that the Super League was the logical consequence if one we didn't want to see happen. I think what's really precipitated it is partly the pandemic and the economic pressure that's placed on clubs, but also a sense, and this is where it gets complicated, from the traditional elites, so the likes of Real Madrid and Manchester United, a sense that the petro clubs, if we can call them that, so Chelsea, Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain, the clubs who are owned by either an oligarch or the sovereign wealth fund of a state, and a sort of, they exist outside the market, they're not dependent on the market to generate their revenues. The traditional elite have been terrified of them for several years. They hoped that the financial fair play legislation that had been introduced would keep them in check. I think there's been a feeling since last year when Manchester City were initially banned by UEFA for breach of FFP regulations, and then that suspension was overturned. I think that brought a sense among the traditional elites that these clubs couldn't be reined in, and so they needed another guaranteed source of revenue. So they put in place the Super League proposals. They then end up having to invite these clubs anyway. Paris Saint-Germain declined the invitation, and I think very sensibly saw the way the wind was blowing. Chelsea and Manchester City go along with it, although they were very clearly the fifth and sixth of the Premier League clubs to sign up, and then they're the first two to pull out. So that's roughly what's happened.
Is it clear, Jonathan, where the money was coming from and who was going to broadcast these games if it ever happened?
It's not clear at all, and that's one of the extraordinary things about this. I mean, we know that JP Morgan had agreed some kind of funding of, 3.5 billion euros. As to the terms of that, we don't know that yet. As to who would broadcast it, I think that's a huge issue. So Joel Glazer from Manchester United, he came out on Sunday and he said that they estimated revenues for this tournament to be 5 billion euros per year. Now, if you look at UEFA's figures for the last Champions League round before the pandemic hit, which obviously has hit revenues, that was 3.3 billion. So you're talking about a 50% increase. Now, of that 3.3 billion, 2.4 billion came from TV rights. But Florentino Perez, the president of Real Madrid, who was president of a new league, he said on Monday that one of the reasons they had to take this step was that broadcast revenues had levelled off and perhaps were going to decline. So where do they get from that 3.3 to 5 if it's not coming from increased broadcast revenues? Now, maybe it would be some kind of streaming platform. But what I thought was really interesting yesterday was when Amazon came out and said, we don't want no part of this. This is not part of our business model. So you then start thinking, well, who on earth is going to do this? So I think the whole thing has a sense of being rushed out without much concrete planning.
Does this leave the way clear now for a revised Champions League, not next season, but the season after, with two places reserved for, I think they're being phrased, pedigree clubs?
Yeah, I mean, on Monday, UEFA voted through the proposed changes for Champions League to begin in 2024. Now, what I think is intriguing about that is that there was a clause in that said that this is subject to change if the circumstances change. Now, it may be that UEFA think we're giving away too much here. They've been appeasing the big clubs for 20 years. And Alexander Čeferin, the president of UEFA, he was furious in a way you never see something like that furious on Monday. You know, he was calling these clubs snakes and liars. He really attacked Andrea Agnelli, to whose daughter he happens to be godfather, which complicates everything even more. He was talking about human values being lost. So I think his instinct for appeasement is over, and I think we may see more battles ahead. But yes, as you say, as the proposals stand that were voted for on Monday, It'll be an expanded group stage with more games and these two legacy places, these for clubs who have done well in Europe in the past, who have a high coefficient but wouldn't otherwise have qualified.
Briefly, Jonathan, I suspect you could give a very long answer to this one if you wanted to. Why do you think the most vocal opposition came from England?
I think English fans are very well organised. I think English fans have a sense of community and of mutual solidarity, which is not there in other countries. I think the fact that the English Pyramid has 92 teams in it in the league, plus all the leagues below that, and their support to a level that you don't see anywhere else in the world. In Spain, once you get below the big three, crowd figures dip off rapidly. So I think England has, because the game began here, because the idea of a league began here, I think that sense of football as being something for everybody, okay, that super clubs are somehow distasteful, I think that exists here. So, yeah, a combination of that and the very good organisation of English fans.
Jonathan Wilson, pleasure to have you on. Thanks for speaking to us.